If a wise man or a wise woman talks with a stupid man or a stupid woman. Now, in that, obviously, the wise one is different from the stupid one in that the wise one should be or could be able in that situation to make a communication between soul to soul or heart to heart or mind to mind possible. Whereas the stupid person will not be so much able to do so. So wisdom means that you can communicate more or with more people, with different people, from the child to the old man, from the moron who has been disabled mentally from birth to the saint who has had all kinds of divine revelations. A wise person can communicate with all of these. That's wisdom. In that is wisdom. So, that doesn't mean that the wise person has a greater value than the unwise, the stupid. It simply means that the wise is more capable than the stupid. He or she can do much more than the stupid. That is, has much greater freedom than the stupid. Now, does it mean that the wise one is superior to the stupid one? Or the ignorant one, the egotistic one, let's say, just to make it very clear, the egotist and the wise altruist person really living her life for the greater good of all, and the egotist really only being interested in me, 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 mine, mine, mine. Now, is this altruistic holy person more, does it have more value than this egotistic person? I'm answering this question for myself, but you have to find for yourself if this is so for you. But my answer is very clear. It is no, there is no difference in value. In the eyes of cosmic love or cosmic compassion, or I would say in the eyes of God, there's no difference in value between these people. God cherishes them both equally. That means loves both equally. This I know. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know. I'm now just ready learning to draw the conclusions from that. So, if this is so, then what could the wise one and the egotist, what could connect them? Well, for the egotist, of course, it will probably be that the wise one has got something he wants. And he will do anything to get what he wants, right? So he will try to get from the wise one what he wants. The wise one being more interested in what makes this person tick? What moves this person? How is it possible to connect to this person? So they will enter into any kind of interaction that's possible between those two people. And for me, the spiritual life is just that, entering into communication and possibly communion, meaning that you can both look into what is going on between you, between I and you, I and we, what is going on there in between us in an interested way. One of the great things that I'm learning in the dialogue between, in the dialogues between me and the voices that I'm asking people to give, or the perspectives, or talking from the perspectives of, let's say, the censor or the critic or the cynic or the angry one or the destroyer or whatever, is that when I do not come from a superior position, meaning that I would know it or I would be better than this voice that I am communicating with. This is what I'm learning. That meaning, if I take that voice for what it is, an honest voice saying what it wants, what its ways of seeing the world are, what it is doing, where it is going, what it wants to achieve, and so on. Communicating with that voice, I find that the reality between us is rich in possibility, in potential, in actuality. And then even if it is true that in that very moment, one part of this communication is wiser than the other part, then the wisdom mainly is shown in allowing the voice to be just the way it is. Not disallowing any particular aspect of it, whether it fits into any kind of canon of ethics or not. And then, this is my finding, interestingly enough, it seems almost that if every voice knows exactly what is best for it. And though every voice or every perspective can be looked upon as having mistakes, meaning that it simply doesn't take reality in a way that is in accordance with its purposes, meaning that if you want to destroy things that are in your way, and you, when doing that, you hurt your hands so much that you cannot destroy anymore, then you're not being very effective. So, you know, voices are seeing these things. And interestingly enough, if this is what I've found so far, and maybe I will find quite some other things as well, in the interaction with these voices, there has always been riches for both parts of the equation. The voices or the persons or the sub-personalities or whatever you want to call what comes out of us when we speak, when we take a certain view of life. What comes out there and what comes out of me has always proven to be good for both sides. Because I stand amazed whenever I – I don't take myself to be superior in any situation. I find that between that situation or those persons and me, something rich, I can only say it rich or beautiful or loving, enhancing life happens. And that's what I call the in-between. That's between you and me, between him and her, between all of us. And for that, I find having superior position is not helpful. Of course, you can learn from superiors, and you can teach inferiors, and so on. And this has been the way of the world for many thousands of years. But for me to go beyond is to go beyond just that system of superiority and inferiority. And I find that to be in accordance to the revelation of what I call the cosmic heart. If there is this cosmic heart, if that wasn't just a hallucination, which might as well be the case, but if it's not just a hallucination, if there is this cosmic heart, this compassion at the center of the universe for everyone and everything, if that is there, then I feel a mutual inquiry into the nature of reality is a much truer way to live according to that revelation for me than any other way. So I guess much more than in the past, I will be interested in finding procedures, meditations, methods which are in accordance to that. Procedures in that will actually treat everybody present as having this unique value, which is not above or below anybody else's value. So that, as for instance in the circle of the heart experience, you see, remember the circle of the heart experience, in the circle of the heart experience, what is so significant is that we are one. Even though everybody is uniquely him or herself, having uniquely him or herself particular feelings that are in accordance with their view of life, it's not, your view of life is not obliterated. You're not somehow dissolved in some kind of cosmic mush. You know, you're not somehow losing your self or your soul or whatever, your uniqueness. No, you're just all of a sudden equal in value. You cherish every voice, even if you don't agree with it. You somehow have, yeah, right, this is also a way to see the world. And it's not also, well, that's also a way to see the world. I mean, it's pretty stupid and so on, you know. It's not like that. It's also a way to see the world, and it's unique, and it is valuable. It gives that one ingredient to reality of this moment that is needed to make the whole a whole. So that leads to a basic, I find, to a basic meditation, if you like. It is a meditation of inquiry. It is not, there's not anybody is somehow someone that hasn't got something to say. Quite the contrary. It makes you curious in how they see the world. And makes you curious to having honest communication, true communication. It makes you do everything you can so that person will feel good enough to give her or himself as he or she is. Because only then can you really inquire into the nature of your mutual reality. You cannot inquire into what reality is if you don't take the view from the other side serious. If you're not open and feelingly considerate for that view, impossible. All that you can see then is the reality from your point of view, from your perspective. And if it is true, what seems to be pretty clear to me, that the universe is all kinds of views, is an innumerable number of perspectives, divine perspectives, murderer perspectives, and everything in between, then opening up to the perspective of another will reveal much more of reality than if you insist on the rightness of your perspective. Which, of course, means that true inquiry needs true inquirers. Means if you are into this, meeting a person who is really not into that at all, then only you can inquire into reality at that moment. And that person will not do it. That person will see that they use you for their kind of world, which is not bad at all, which is not a trouble at all for you, because you can learn from that as well, from that perspective, taking that perspective as valuable. You can learn right there in that kind of situation as well. So it's not required that both parties inquire into the nature of reality with an open heart and an open mind. It's not necessary, but it's beautiful. And I do believe that as that is happening, and I've had that happen on many, many different levels, that when this is happening, opening from both sides, that's when reality can reveal itself in a very, very rich, deep, encompassing way. And that, to me, is real spirituality of the 21st century.